The 100 Years' War, the De Guesclin period, the French move on Calais, 1377. The first major offensive since 1350 against the English positions at Calais opened in the beginning of September, 1377. The Duke of Burgundy appeared with his army at Thérouanne at the edge of the English Pale on September 2, 1377. Plausible English estimates put its strength at 2,600 men-at-arms, 700 Genoese crossbowmen, and a horde of infantry and hangers-on from the villages and towns of a region that had suffered for a generation at the hands of the English of Calais. The French and Castilian fleets were recalled from the Kent coast, and on the following day anchored off the town with another 3,000 to 4,000 troops on board, most of whom were bowmen. The Duke's combined strength must have been between 7,000 and 10,000 men. He had also brought an impressive siege train, comprising at least 6 and probably 9 cannon, one of them designed to fire projectiles of 130 pounds, and what the English described as a trebuchet of unimaginable size, as we've never seen in these parts. The campaign was to be a classic illustration of the truism of 14th century military commanders, that great fortresses were usually taken by psychological pressure, not by force. The garrison of Calais had expected to be attacked since April, yet the simultaneous appearance of all the great forces by land and sea plainly shocked them. The defense was in the hands of Sir Hugh Calverley, still a formidable military figure, who had been captain of the town for the last 2 years. He commanded one of the strongest fortresses in Europe. The town itself was surrounded by a circuit of walls and towers on which Edward III had lavished money year after year ever since he captured it 30 years before. Beyond the walls of the town lay a water-filled moat and an expanse of soft marshy ground, which made it difficult for an attacker to approach and almost impossible to set up siege equipment. The harbor, which was outside the walls, was defended on the seaward side by a long spit of sand known as the Rise Bank, built on artificial foundations and culminating at its eastern end in a stone tower. On the landward side, a ring of garrisoned castles linked by a network of rivers and canals guarded all the approaches. These places would have to be captured if a way was to be opened to the city and a besieging army supplied there. By the time the Duke of Burgundy arrived, Calais had been heavily reinforced. Was defended by about 1,800 men, of whom rather more than half served in the town and the castles of Calais itself, and the rest in the outlying forts. On September 4, 1377, the Duke of Burgundy laid siege to Ardres, the largest of the outlying forts of the Calais Pale. Ardres stood on a flat ground southeast of Calais, separated from the town by 10 miles of bleak scrub and marsh. Its situation was not very strong, but substantial sums had recently been spent on strengthening the walls and the barbicans, and the place was apparently well filled with supplies. The garrison had been progressively increased over the years and now stood at the considerable figure of 360, in addition to the inhabitants of the town. In the opinion of sound judges, the place was twice as strong as it had been in 1369, when Sir Ralph Ferrers had successfully defended it against the French for more than 3 months. The captain of the place in 1377, however, was a different kind of man, Jean de Jean, Lord of Gommanage, a soldier of fortune from Hainault who had been in English service since 1369 and had served as captain of Ardres for most of that time. He regarded the place mainly as a base for kidnapping and cattle rustling and had no desire to risk his life and fortune in a heroic defense. He was badly rattled by the sight of the French setting up their artillery and preparing their assault. A messenger from the Duke of Burgundy added to his unease, peering at the barriers in front of the gate to tell the garrison that no prisoners would be taken if Ardres fell. The commander assembled the garrison and the leaders of the town and told them the place was too weak to withstand an assault. Some of the defenders were surprised and tried to argue with him. Undeterred, on September 7th, he surrendered the town to the Duke of Burgundy without striking a blow. The French occupation of Ardres made much of the eastern sector of the march indefensible. Two small forts nearby surrendered on the same day, and a third was abandoned by its garrison. The only other significant place in the sector was Oudryk, a castle built on rising ground about 5 miles east of Ardres, which was now cut off from Calais by French troops. Oudryk was commanded by a squire called William Weston and a garrison of 50 men, half what he considered to be necessary. He had asked Calverley for more, but they were told he had none to spare. After 3 days of continuous assaults, the French artillery had wrecked parts of the walls. The sappers had drained the moat and filled it at 3 points. More than a quarter of the garrison had been killed or wounded. When the sun rose on September the 11th, the defenders found that during the night the French had brought up their artillery to the edge of the moat and had piled up their scaling ladders in full view of the walls. Weston's courage failed him. On the following day, Oudryk surrendered in its turn. These humiliations profoundly shocked English opinion. Germaines was arrested by Sir Hugh Calverley and reached Calais with his men and sent back to England under guard. Weston would have aroused more sympathy if it had not come to light that the French paid him 2,500 francs, about £400. He claimed that this represented the value of his prisoners and stores, but contemporaries were not convinced. Both men were imprisoned in the Tower of London and later charged with treason. With the road to Calais now open from the east, Sir Hugh Calverley assumed the Duke of Burgundy would advance on the town. But although the Duke had been in the Pas-de-Calais for only 10 days, he was already encountering serious difficulties of his own. His army was the equivalent to the population of a large provincial city. The region around had been stripped bare by raids and counter-raids of the last 3 months. The campaign had been fought in heavy and continuous rain, which impeded efforts to bring in supplies. It also flooded the causeways across the Calais marshes and made it impossible to deploy heavy equipment. About the time that Oudryk fell, a terrible storm dispersed the French and Castilian fleets from their anchorages outside Calais Harbor and caused serious damage to some of the ships. On about September the 13th, the army abandoned the campaign and marched away, and the fleet sailed south for its bases almost immediately afterwards. Well, this is a little bit disappointing, as well as the French were doing, but Mother Nature and no food will always stop an army of this time period. Now, the sources for this: The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.